Turn your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 22. I believe that my desire is to glorify the Lord through preaching His Word. My hope this week is that saved people will have a desire to draw nigh to God. That our love for Him will grow and increase and be more intense in our love for the Savior. My other desire is this week is that God may be pleased to pluck some brand out of the burning, to save some precious soul, that the Lord Jesus Christ would make Himself real in their lives, because I'm here to tell you, there is nothing more wonderful in all the world than to know that you're saved by the grace of God. That Jesus Christ is your Lord, your King, your Savior. That your sins are forgiven. That you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. That's the most wonderful thing in all the world, is to know the Lord. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, the lawyer asked Him a question. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I get convicted every time I read that verse. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Turn over with me to Matthew 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, if you would, turn to Revelation chapter 3. I'm a Baptist by the grace of God. I believe that we are the Lord's church, that He started it, promised perpetuity to it, that we're to keep the ordinances as He delivered them, that we're to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Do you know what amazes me is what Jesus said about taking a candlestick away. Look what He says here in Revelation chapter 3 and or Revelation chapter 2 in verse 3. Now, the church at Ephesus, they were lined out doctrinally. They practiced. They believed the truth. They practiced the truth. He said in verse 3, And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, I've heard a lot of preaching, and I've done a lot of preaching about holding the ordinances and keeping them as they were delivered, not receiving alien immersion, danger of having your candlestick and your authority snuffed out by the Lord. But He gives us one of the reasons why He'd take the candlestick away. because you've left your first love. I want to preach tonight a message entitled simply, Love to Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Word would go forth in power this night. I know without the Holy Spirit preparing hearts and applying the Word that my efforts are in vain. And so I pray that You would bless this meeting, that You would give us a holy delight in the things of God, that, Lord, we would be convicted of our sins, that we'd be drawn to You in a powerful way, and that, Lord, You might be pleased even to save sinners in our midst. But again, I ask for Your grace. I pray for this church that You would bless this week of meetings. Help us, Lord. We are so needy. Forgive us of our worldliness and our covetousness and our lack of love, and our lack of devotion. God, help us tonight to draw nigh to You. Help us to love You more. In Jesus' name, amen. I fear that the modern day form of Christianity has grown so complex and organized and systematic, if you will, that love to Jesus Christ has been neglected as a subject worthy of our attention. You've got church growth seminars, marriage seminars, programs, activities in most churches. But I wonder, where are we at when it comes to sincere love for the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray that God will be pleased even tonight to stir our hearts, every one of us, to remember back to the time when He opened our eyes to see the glories of the crucified and risen Christ for us, individually. And we felt the power of God overcome our will and make us willing in the day of His power when we first embraced Jesus Christ as Lord. That was before I knew any doctrine. When the Lord saved me, I was a heathen. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know John 3:16. Do you remember the chaste purity and simplicity of your love to Jesus Christ the day that you came to know Him? You didn't know much probably about the Bible, but you knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had saved you, that He loved you, and that you loved Him. I remember the day that I was saved. I wanted to be saved more than anything else in the world. I wasn't holding on to the pew. Nobody had to drag me or coerce me. I was in my brother-in-law's living room and I said, I want to be saved. And he said, well, I think I need to be saved. And he said, well, that's what I've been trying to tell you for 10 months, ever since I've known you. And I said, you don't understand. I need to be saved right now. And that day, the Lord took my burden of sin away. He changed my life completely. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I didn't know anything. I couldn't have told you the four gospel writers. But I knew that Jesus was my Lord. I knew that He had saved me from my sins and that I was forgiven. And I remember what a delight it was. As I got in my car that day, I've never prayed before, except I broke my leg once, and there was a Catholic lady that came in where I worked, and she gave me one of those scapulars. And it's a little thing, and I hung it on my bed, and every night I'd rub it, hoping that my leg would get better. Never did. The Lord healed it up eventually. This was before I was ever saved. That's about all the religion I had, really. We every once in a while, we were kind of like holiday Christians. We'd go to the Church of Christ whenever, you know, it was a holiday season or something. Never had too much in the way of religion. But I tell you, the day that the Lord saved me, I knew it. It changed me. And I can remember getting in my car that day and saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for changing me." And I said, "Oh God, help me that I'll never go back to the way that I was." As soon as I got home, I ran right upstairs, went to where my mom and dad was, and I said, "Jesus Christ, just save my soul." They looked at me and I said, "Now I'm going to tell you something. If you don't repent, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to go to hell." Oh, the only tact I had when I was first saved was A-tact. I left there. As soon as I left there, I went down to my best friend's house. He was still in bed from the night before. And I went in, and his mother's name was Miss Hamilton. I'll never forget it. She was a black lady. And I knocked on the door and she said, "Tommy, what are you doing here?" I said, "Miss Hamilton, I've been saved. Jesus Christ has changed my life, and I came to tell Kevin how to be saved by the grace of God. I want him to know, what I feel." She looked at me and she said, "Son, you get right in there." You know what? He didn't trust the Lord that day. He said, "I was crazy." He said, "You'll be back right with us doing what we're doing 6 weeks from now." And I can remember how that burned in my heart. And I walked out of there and I said, "Oh God, please kill me before I'd ever do that." Well, you know, several years later, I'd lost track of Kevin. I'd witnessed to him every time I saw him, but lost track of him, got an email and just said, "Praise God." He wanted me to know. I called him. He gave me his phone number. He said, "I just wanted you to know, I never forgot you witnessing to me, and I wanted you to be one of the first ones to know that the Lord saved me." I'm telling you, there's nothing more wonderful than knowing Christ and the free pardon of sin. And oh, I can remember how that when I was first saved, I would do anything for the Lord. And I want to do that now, and I believe that I'm trying, but there was such a freeness. Going to church wasn't a chore. I looked forward every time the doors were open. I couldn't wait to go. I knew that I was going to learn something from the Word of God, and I looked forward to it. I can remember how wonderful it was to pray and to sing. And I can remember there was a time when I was first saved, I couldn't tell enough people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere I went, I told people about the Lord and what He'd done for my life. And I still try to do that today. But there are times I know I don't do it with the same fervency and simplicity and earnestness that I did when I was first saved. God hadn't moved. He's still the same. Do you remember what it was like when your life was devoted to the glory of Christ. Your heart was filled with affection. Your thoughts were filled with the glories of Christ. I remember asking my brother-in-law after about 6 weeks after I'd been saved. I went to work one day and I said, I got to know, is it normal for me to think about the Lord all the time? And what He's done and how He's changed my life? And he said, that is so normal for a Christian. When I was first saved, people started asking me, hey, what do you believe about the Trinity? And I'd say, well, I believe it. I don't know a whole lot about it. I only knew two verses. And I'd always answer with, I don't know about that, but I do know for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They say, well, what do you believe about the woman's place in church? I said, I believe it. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know for by grace are you saved through faith. You know, I fear that many of us, we get like the church at Ephesus. We know a lot of doctrines. We believe a lot of truth. We're straight. But I wonder, have we left our first love? Do we love Jesus Christ with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, with every fiber of our being? Do you love Jesus tonight? The Lord Jesus. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The One who is worthy of all of our praise, all of our devotion, all of our life. Every fiber of our being ought to be devoted to Him. And I want to give you some reasons, first of all, why we are to love Christ. Well, first of all, because of His infinite love for us. The Bible teaches we love Him because He first loved us. Here's what's amazing. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's never been a time that He didn't love you. We're loved with an everlasting love. Before the world began, He entered into covenant with the Father and He agreed to be the surety, to be the substitute for all that the Father gave Him. How amazing is it that we belong to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before anything existed, Jesus loved me. And He determined by covenant arrangement to become my substitute, to take my place. And He knew, as God, He knew what rebellious, wicked, filthy, sinful wretches we would be. He knew what we were going to be. And yet, in spite of all that He knew about us, He came to die in our place. Yes, He knew every blasphemy that I would ever utter. He knew every wicked deed, every wicked thought. He knew every sin that I would ever commit. Yet Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How it ought to thrill our hearts tonight that we're loved with an everlasting love, even though we are unworthy of the least of His blessings, much, much less His infinite, glorious, wonderful, eternal love. And that's how He loves us. J.C. Ryle said, does the debtor in jail love the friend who unexpectedly and undeservedly paid all his debts, supplies him with fresh capital, and takes him into partnership with himself? Does the prisoner of war love the man who at the risk of his own life breaks through the enemy lines, rescues him, and sets him free? Does the drowning sailor love the man who plunges into the sea, dives after him, catches him by the hair of his head, and by a mighty effort saves him from the watery grave? Just in the same way and upon the same principle, a true Christian loves Jesus Christ because He first loved us. He rescued us. His love was manifested in the sacrifice that He made. He gave Himself for us. He loved us and gave Himself for us. You realize that every aspect of the life of Christ was a work on purpose. Everything He did was on purpose. He knew exactly what was going to ultimately happen. He knew every moment of His life, how that He would be spit upon, falsely accused, beaten beyond recognition, how He would be nailed to a tree of cursing, how our sins would be laid upon His perfect body. And He would bear them away, and He would suffer the wrath of Almighty God and the equivalent of the lake of fire in our stead. He knew all of that. He died for us. He gave everything for us. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me, notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. The love of Christ for our unworthy souls is what motivated Him to lay down His life for His friends, for His sheep. See, we ought to love Him because of the way He loves us. There's nobody that loves you like the Lord Jesus. If you're saved by the grace of God, He loves you sacrificially. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. He was willing to change places with you, to take your sin and to give you His righteousness. He was willing to take your punishment so that you could inherit the glories of heaven forever. And then we ought to love Him because of who He is. Because of the beauty of His character. There is none, no one that you'll ever meet that is so lovely and gracious as the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's pretty hard. It's not hard to love Brother and Sister Reynolds, is it? They're gracious. They're kind. And I'm not just bragging on you, brother. I believe that. But you think about the Lord Jesus. He's unselfish. He's thoughtful. He's caring. He's compassionate. He's merciful. You study the earthly life of Jesus Christ and you will find that His excellencies are unsurpassed. There's no flaws in His character. All of His motives are pure. Everything He did was to please His Father. There was no guile in His mouth. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Our Lord is perfect. Never had a thought of sin. Never spoke a word of sin. Never did a deed of sin. This is the One that we are to love. He's the just One, the Holy One. He's the epitome of righteousness. He is called the righteous branch. Paul, when he commented on his life in the book of Acts, He said he went about doing good. Everywhere he went, he distributed goodness, grace, mercy, love. His life was a river of kindness and compassion that never ceased to flow. And here's the amazing thing. He loved people that nobody else would love. He healed lepers when nobody would even be, they didn't even want to be around them. It had a law that they had to cry out unclean. They'd have to walk on the other side of the street. Jesus touched the leper and said, "Be thou clean." Probably was the first time that man had ever felt the touch of another human being in years. That's the amazing thing about the power of Christ. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He fed the multitudes. He preached the truth. There's no one like Jesus. He is worthy tonight of all of your love. All of our devotion. He was a friend of publicans and sinners. You know, when the Shulamite girl was talking about the glories of her king, she said, they asked her, "Who's your beloved?" She said, "He's altogether lovely." She said, "This is my friend." I wonder tonight, what is your estimation of Jesus Christ? Do you love Him with every fiber of your being? He's worthy of it. The Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, when something's full means you can't add anything to it. Jesus Christ is the only man in all the world who's absolutely full of grace, full of truth. This is the one that we follow. This is the one that we love. This is the one that we've pledged our allegiance to, our loyalty to. He's the one that we follow in scriptural baptism as an act of righteousness, to serve Him in and through the church that He established. We ought to love Him with everything we got. We ought to love the Lord because of the glorious change He's wrought in our lives. I shudder to think where I'd be without Jesus Christ. I can remember how empty, how miserable my life was before Jesus visited me in love. I remember how filled up with sin and sorrow and misery and ungodliness, and how all that changed. He took all that hatred and all that malice, and the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. I tell you, this is one reason why I never get up on my high horse. When I see people that are down and out and in sin, I don't ever run them down. I don't make fun of them. I know, were it not for the grace of God, I may be in that very same condition. He brought me out of the miry pit. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my heart and in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He delivered me from the captivity of sin, from the bondage of Satan. He gave me liberty that I had never known before. Forgiveness of all my sins. That's what Jesus Christ does. He changes sinners forever. And He's still doing it. He's still changing me tonight by the power of His grace. There's plenty more reasons. But let's move on. What are the qualities of our love to Jesus Christ? What should the quality of our love be to Him? Our love for Him ought to be superlative, in meaning that it should excel our love for anyone or anything else. He ought to be first. Christ is to have first place in our hearts. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I wonder, do you love the Lord tonight? First. You know, He told him when He was talking about discipleship, He said, if you're going to come after Me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me, and in comparison, your love for Me will look like anything else will look like hatred. That's a hard thing for me to understand. But that's how devoted we are to be to Jesus Christ. He's to be before everything, everyone. He's to come before money, before possessions, before prestige, power, popularity, our family, our country. Our loyalty is to Jesus Christ alone. First and foremost. And He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything else will fall into place if Jesus is your Lord and you're serving Him. Psalm 73:25, He said, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Are you satisfied tonight with Jesus as your portion? Do you love Him? Or is there something that you love more? Do you love sports more? Do you love shopping or hunting or race cars or I don't know. I'll hit just about everything before the week's out, I'm sure. But I want you to really examine yourself. Do you really delight in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? Our love for Him ought to be consistent and constant. I'll tell you what, your wife wouldn't think much of you if you say you left. Have you noticed every time somebody, now when everybody talks on cell phone, that I don't care who they're talking to, they'll usually say, I love you. And it's almost got to where, you know, we're almost cheapening it. Now, some of you are looking at me kind of mad because you do that. But I wonder what your wife would think if you left out and said, honey, I love you. And she made you a real nice meal and you never showed up. Well, I tell you what, my wife, there'd be some trouble there. You see, our love, we ought to prove it in the way that we live. It ought to be a constant thing. It ought to be consistent. We shouldn't be up and down in our love for Christ. Look at what He's done. Look at who He is. Look at how He's changed our life. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're to love Him at all times. And during all seasons, whether we're in adversity or prosperity, our love for Christ should never waver. It should never falter. His love for us is such that it will never be separated from it. We're to love Him no matter what the circumstances. You're going to have trials in your life. You're going to meet with difficulties and hardships. And you know what? You need to love Him no matter how bleak things may appear. The way I look at it is, I'm saved. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I have all the promises of God that are yea and amen. I know that I'm going to heaven. No matter what happens, I'm going to love Him. Because He's loved me with an everlasting love. And He's changed me. No matter how bad it gets, I know that I'll never be separated from His love. And our love for Christ ought to be fervent. How often do God's people grow lukewarm and indifferent and cold in their love for Christ? You've seen it. You've seen people that begin to drop out of church. I guarantee you it didn't start with missing church. It usually starts when they quit talking to the Lord. They quit listening to the Lord in His Word. They start missing services. Their heart gets hard. Their ears get closed up. They'll listen to the world over the Word of God being preached. And they begin to make bad decisions. And they get backslidden. They get out of sorts. And a lot of times God has to chasten them back to get them right. Is your love for Christ cold tonight? Is it lukewarm? How often do we pursue worldly things with more fervency than we do than having an increased closeness with Jesus Christ? We got a bunch of hunters in our church. I'm going to tell you what, man. Just the anticipation of opening day. When, you know, they all got their guns polished up. I mean, we got some bloodthirsty killers in our church. I don't know any other way to put it. If there's nothing in season, they'll kill coyotes and groundhogs just for something to do. But I tell you what, they look forward with anticipation to getting out there the first day of deer season. And I often ask them, do you anticipate with that kind of joy and relish and delight each time that you can go to the secret place of the Most High and fellowship with Christ and open the book and have Him speak to you through His Word? We ought to delight in that more than anything else in the world. Boy, do they get convicted when I talk to them like that. And we ought to. What's taking preeminence in your life? What's more important to you than the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him? I tell you, when I read Psalm 42:1, I ask myself, do I have this kind of desire? Do I have this kind of fervency? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now there's some fervency. Look over at what Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 3. And I want us tonight to consider whether or not we share his same passion. Listen to what he says. Philippians chapter 3 verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." And then he says in verse 14, "I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Our love for Him should be fervent. And our love ought to be sincere and without hypocrisy. Ephesians 6:24 says, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity." 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You know, He rebuked the Pharisees. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Do we love Him in sincerity? And lastly, we ought to demonstrate our love to Christ. And I don't think it's a mystery how you do it. He revealed, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you." Obey Him. Walk with Him. Abide in Him. Love Him. Cherish every moment that you have in fellowship with Him. You say, "Well, how do I know what His commandments are?" Get in the book! Open it up! Read it! Memorize it! Meditate upon it! Apply it! Walk in it! And obey Him. And ask God to give you the grace to where none of His commandments are grievous, but they're a delight to your soul. They said there was an old missionary named C.T. Studd, and he would wake up early in the morning, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be studying the Bible by candlelight. And the other missionaries would say, "Brother C.T., what are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking into the Word of God to see if there's any other commands I can obey." Man, we need that kind of love and desire to obey. You know something else? You want to demonstrate love for Christ? You love His people. I'm preaching a series right now on Sunday mornings. Jesus said the one distinguishing mark that would set His disciples apart from all others is that from every other religion, "Herein shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another." and that you ought to love one another as I have loved you, sacrificially, unconditionally. Do you love the Lord's people? Do you look forward to gathering in His name to worship, to sing the songs of Zion? You see, if you don't like going to church now, you don't like being with God's people now, you're going to be miserable in heaven. Because it's going to be one constant worship service as the eternal ages roll. You've got to love the Lord's people. You ought to want to talk to them and fellowship with them. And those who love the Lord will desire to be holy as He is holy. You know what I really believe holiness is? It's you love what the Lord loves and you hate what He hates. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you love what the Lord loves? Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. He meets with His churches every time they assemble. He's in our midst. If He loves the church, then we ought to love the Lord's church. And those who love the Lord delight in His presence and long to be in fellowship with Him, to be in His banqueting house of love, to spend time in the secret place of the Most High, to talk to Him, to listen to Him as He through the Word of God. And you know what? When you really love somebody, you're not ashamed of them. You think about them a lot. I remember when I was courting my wife, about the only time we saw each other was at church. I loved going to church. Man, I just couldn't wait. I loved going to church because I met with the Lord, but it was also an opportunity to sit next to my beloved. And it wasn't hard to converse with her and talk with her, and that still's not. But I wonder tonight, and I'm not ashamed of my wife. I love her. She's, as far as human beings go, she's the most important person to me. I wonder tonight, are you ashamed to talk about the Lord? This one that's done so much for you? Will you declare Him to others? Will you say unashamedly, this is my beloved and this is my friend. I love Him with all of my heart. I want to please Him with my life. I want to serve Him until He calls me home. I am so glad that I belong to Him. Don't be ashamed of our Lord. Do you love Him? Oh, that tonight the power of the first commandment to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength. May God help us. Let's all stand. Brother Reynolds, if you'll come and take over the service as you see fit.